Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to a Christmas edition episode of Punch Drunk Nerd.
No.
Yes, it's me, Luis Gonzalez, and with me is my best friend.
That's right, Miguel Sanchez.
That's right. Welcome, Miguel.
Dude, I'm back, man. You're back. We're back.
I kicked Ed out. He's no longer my best friend. Now you're
He's
my best
done.
Friend.
He's done.
Listen, if you don't know, this is a podcast about two friends, two amigos, talking about nerd shit. This week, we're going to talk about Christmas stuff, Christmas movies, Tis the Season, all that kind of jazz. We're going to talk about what we're into, and then we're going to give some news, some big news. We're going to kick this thing off with is Mr. Majors. Merry Christmas. Christmas has come early. You're out of the Avengers, basically.
Sorry, Jonathan. Gone.
Jonathan got convicted for some crimes, and Marvel was like, you're out of here, buddy. There's been speculation about this, Miguel, that they're trying to pivot to have Dr. Doom as more of the big bad. Thoughts, initial reactions when you saw this pop up on your feed on every account?
Everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've kind of been just kind of waiting for the shoe to drop on this.
Right.
You know, he finally got, you know, the jury came back and said he was guilty, and I was like, okay, that's official. The internet, this is going to be one of those things the internet is torn on for forever. I don't really have any skin in the game. Jonathan Majors is, he seemed to be like up and coming. What a whirlwind, like how fast a career just kind of unwound itself.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of Kang being around, as like this middle Thanos until Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things where it's like, how long are we going to drag it out and try to make it happen? Or should we just like cut straight to
Doom.
Something bigger? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It makes sense to me. I mean, I know you haven't seen Loki season 2 yet, but mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of that. If we ended Kang there, that would be fine. I think that's a good way to wrap it up. Fantastic Four is around the corner, and by around the corner, I mean a couple years. And you know, when we're talking Secret Wars, that story covers around Doom, and so obviously they're going to remove King Dynasty now, or there's talks about removing the title King Dynasty, or it's I think they actually did it just now. It's just Avengers 5 or something.
Avengers 5, TBD.
But I think it's I don't know if you know anything about Secret Wars, but they also have this thing called Battle Worlds. So you could do like one Secret Wars, Avengers Secret Wars, Avenger Battle Worlds, and it could be all surrounding Doom. So I don't really see how we can, you know, as CEO of Marvel, I don't see a problem with this. Okay. We can move forward in this
Doom direction.
We have options. Go. We have many characters we can dip our toes into. People talk about recasting him. I know here in this podcast, our favorite fan cast is Mr. Denzel Washington.
I know.
But I hear that, you know, they may not want to kind of step in those, you know,
this could really be the opportunity
issues.
Cause like, if you're having this character, this one actor play this like multiple versions of the character, like,
yeah,
how long is that really going to go before it's like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, here's another one. So maybe this just kind of just cuts all that out. And like I said, it just like cuts straight to, the big thing they were going to build to anyway. It just happens to be a little bit sooner. So
this was Doom's plan all along. You know what I mean? I was guiding Loki towards the goal. Now that Kang is trapped and gone forever, I reign supreme, you know, Doom supreme kind of situation.
Yeah.
Really crazy. He also has another movie called Magazine Dreams coming out. And I think that is about a character who gets roided out and has some anger issues as well.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that,
okay.
We don't know where that's if it's going to get dropped and picked up by somebody else, but that's also something, you know, the studios will have to figure out, like, hey, what are we going to do with this movie? You know, that's kind of it's too close to home kind of situation.
Yeah. And maybe in a few years, Jonathan Majors will come back and he'll have some sort of great comeback or not. Who knows?
He'll probably, you know, couple of 3 years, 3 years. I feel like that's always the cycle. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say. It was just kind of wild that it happened. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to move forward. And it's kind of like uncertainty ahead of us.
I was a little shocked that they actually came back with like a hard guilty. And then Marvel immediately was like, you're fired. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they did. They waited until there was actually
a clear
guilty
or
non-guilty. And when I looked into it, and this is going to be, we're not going to dive too deep into this. But there were, I think, different accounts that he could have been convicted on. And he wasn't convicted guilty on all of them. It was only on kind right. of the lower counts. And there were some that he wasn't accounted for guilty. But either way, yeah, Disney came in and said, okay, we're done. We're going to cut the ties because they, I think there's this like reaction now with culture where it's like, whoa, we don't want to cancel people a little too early now. We want to give them kind of a chance sure. to.
Yeah.
But no, Marvel was ready.
But it was like in the news cycle too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were just like, well, oh, our hands are tied. We have to. I don't know. And then, of course, like the internet today was like, well, Ezra Miller didn't get fired. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. That's a whole discussion happening right now. I have no skin in this game. Okay.
No. I don't know how they're going to tie this all together. Good luck to you, Marvel. We will be waiting here in the wings. Some more Marvel news.
Oh, yeah. But
this isn't cinematic news. No. This no. is video game news. And if it wasn't enough, if we weren't talking about Spider-Man enough, Insomniac oh, no. Spider-Man I'm enough, we're going to keep doing it again. Welcome back to Punch Insomniac Spider-Man podcast. Man. No, okay, so this time we're not actually just talking about Spider-Man. The studios that make the Spider-Man games, Insomniac, are also going to release Wolverine, the video game, but they've been leaked. There were some leaks, right, Miguel?
There was. This just, you know, came out today, which is why we're talking about it. We recorded on Tuesday. So apparently last week or so, some hackers got a hold of some pretty confidential Sony Insomniac information. And they told them, you know, you're going to give us something like $2 million or we're going to leak this stuff in a week.
Right.
They did. Yeah. And being the big studios that they are with the lawyers and the power that they have, they said, no, we're not going to give you money. We'll tear you apart. Yeah. But these hackers, man, they kept true to their word. They leaked that shit today. When I hopped on the internet, I saw Wolverine trending and I was like, oh, yeah, Wolverine's trending. Like at first, I thought they just released a clip. Like I thought they right. were like purposefully dropping something. And then I saw what all they dropped or leaked. And I was kind of blown away, man. This kind of feels like, do you remember when Sony got hacked a few years back with the yes. whole North Korea debacle?
Yeah.
This feels kind of like that. There was a lot of big information leaked here. It looks like their next 10 years, the scheduling has been leaked. So we're seeing some pretty big ones. Do you want to talk about that real quick? Just
yeah, I do
top?
Want to talk about that.
So some big things right away. So first off, when we talked about Spider-Man 2, one of the things we talked about was Venom and how, like, if there was a standalone game, we would play it. Guess what? They are going to do, they are going to release a Venom, Marvel Venom, in fall of 2025. This is taken from Reddit. I'm sorry, I don't normally give credit like this just because I'm bad at it, but I have the screenshot here. This is from Reddit user Umbasa. Yeah. This was on a big thread that came out. So shout out. This is from a thread that released today. The roadmap for the next decade, Marvel Venom 2025 and fall 2025. It's an all new storyline that continues Spider-Man 2 and leads into Spider-Man 3. It's a playable, switchable Venom and Spider heroes. So I assume that means Spider-Man and Miles Morales. Carnage Infected NYC. It's an 8 to 10 hour standalone experience with a couple of side quests and side missions. It feels akin to the Miles Morales video game. Yes. That came out. So instead of it being a DLC, they're saying it's its own thing. I spoiled this for you. Carnage is in the tail end of Spider-Man 2, the video game. So that's clear that they were setting that up as a as a breadcrumb. We obviously know that Wolverine, they're working on Wolverine. That's coming out the very next year, fall 2025. Oh, wait, this both says 2025. In the same year these games are coming out? That might have been a typo.
Wait. Oh.
That might be 2026.
That can't be right. 2025.
Yeah, that might be a typo. Listen, guys, let us know in the comments below. Okay. Shout out to Umbasa.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man 3 is going to come out in 27. They're going to do a new Ratchet and Clank in 29. They're coming out with Luis. Big news for you. Marvel's X-Men is going to get its own game. So Wolverine.
That's crazy. That was news to
the
me.
The lead in.
Everything they were talking about Venom. We already know Wolverine is coming out, but seeing X-Men on the list here, I really like
kind of a big
team
deal.
Yeah, I like team games, like where I can kind of like command people to do things. That's like, that's, I don't know if you ever played the Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Guardians of the Galaxy, you love that game.
Yes, that's what I like. Like, I like commanding people to do things, and maybe if you can switch to different characters, like you can in Spider-Man 2, then you can do different abilities, and I find that to be really interesting. I mean, I see the Wolverine, they showed a scene of Wolverine fighting people.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I hope there's something else too. I mean, Wolverine's a badass character, you know what I mean? But if I'm just slashing everything, then I don't know how repetitious that's going to be.
Let's, before we get to that, let me finish this list, and then I want to talk about the Wolverine gameplay, okay? So we got Ratchet and Clank 29, X-Men in Fall of 29 as well. Again, these might be typos, or maybe they're all coming out in the same year. That's kind of crazy. It's an undisclosed new IP coming in 2031, 2032. Marvel's X-Men 2 in 2033.
Crazy.
And the new IP sequel in 2035. Now, in the news this morning, one of the things they talked about is that Sony and Marvel... or I guess Marvel and Insomniac and Sony have a deal with X-Men through 2033. So, I mean, they are clearly like saying we are going to be the exclusive X-Men video game media for the next decade.
We better jump in now before we lose kind of that license.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So they're saying, no, we want you to make them. And obviously, like, Insomniac has made Spider-Man. It's been a really fun game. The potential for Wolverine is very high. So, I mean, it does seem like the studio to team up with for Marvel Adventures right now. But you mentioned the Wolverine gameplay. One of the things, not only did they leak all of this just basic information, they also released footage of the Wolverine game coming out in 2025. Now, this is obviously pre-released footage. This is like 2-3 years out right now. But I will say, even for several years out, it looks really clean.
Right.
One of the complaints that people were saying on the internet today was, it just looks like God of War. Oh, it just looks like God of War. And it's like, well, I mean, maybe. And you're talking about just slashing as well.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if this is like just what they're throwing together, you know what I mean? Before it's like actually finished.
Yeah.
There's still room to grow. There's still room to like get that polished version. So I'm still kind of holding out. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I was shocked by how, like you said, how done it was. And seeing all like these actions and moving through it, I was like, oh wow. It was something I didn't mind getting spoiled at too. I was fine to like deep dive into that and understand what's going to happen with that game because it's been so mysterious.
Yeah. And if you look at it, it looks like he's fighting outside of a bar or whatever. And in the teaser that they showed for the game like a year ago, he was sitting in a bar. So it's like, okay, is this just like act one? Is this scene one?
It feels like the game.
So, you know, to me, not super spoilery. It did feel very video gamey, right? You're like slashing bad guys and oop, the big heavy comes in and you got to do a kind of like a big combo on him. Couple of really cool shots, man. I guess they're ninjas or something. And he's kind of slicing at their swords and he gets a sword in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he pulls it out and he throws it at the dude's face. And it's like, some of that is just kind of like rendered footage or whatever you call it, where it's like, it's just like not a cut scene, but it's like a quick play action, you know?
Yeah.
But if you can kind of like fine tune that control and like actually like time that parry or whatever, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Listen, I'm here for these games, man. I want to play all of them. We live in a time of leaks right now. These last year or two, it feels like we're getting a lot of like really big leaks. Especially for video games, do you feel anything about this? Like, do you feel like these ruin the experience, or are you kind of just like, I was already going to play the game?
Yeah, I'm not a big gamer as I am like a movie viewer. So if something was being spoiled, I think I'd be a little bit more pissed off. But since I'm not as like into games and I'm fine with all the spoilers, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Just kind of like, I don't mind. I personally don't mind it. I don't know. Do you mind it, or do you? How do you feel about this?
I kind of take spoilers just across the board with a grain of salt, especially when they're years out. If I am playing the game, like I talked about when I played Spider-Man 2 the first time, like all the way through, I was really trying to play it because I didn't want spoilers because I was already in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whatever I hadn't learned up to that point, I wanted to get organically through the story. But as we're so far out, and especially that we're talking about like 10 years, the next 10 years of games from Insomniac, I'm going to forget most of this information. You know what I mean? Like, pretty quickly. There's going to be something else that's going to take my attention. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of rolling with the punches. Like I said, if I was in the middle of it, I would be a little upset. But the fact that we're so far out, I think we'll be okay.
Fine. Also, it looks like it's going to be pretty bloody, you know? I mean, those are just blades going through people's bodies. I imagine just, like, blood and limbs to be cut off. I don't know how, like, higher rated R they're going to go with this thing, but they really could go pretty R with this.
I will say, you know, the internet's complaining about things. I might as well take this opportunity to complain about, like, one little thing.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like, it's years out. Like, it's going to get polished, this and that. You know how you're playing, like, Jedi Survivor and the lightsaber... It like when you hit someone, it doesn't like cut through them right away.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's kind of how I feel. Like until you hit like the finisher, and then all of a sudden you like you cut him in half,
slices through.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about like Wolverine. Like if Wolverine was here right now, fucking me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'd like to think that it wouldn't be like a like a multiple slice.
It would be, you know, one slice, like, and you're done
across the face, and I'd probably be like, and like
that's
dead,
all you have to do. Claws to the jaw, claws to the, you know, kidney.
Dude.
Just one. Well, you just one and off.
These
people
are kind of like one hits and you're done. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I get it. You know what I mean? For the gameplay, you got to like, you got to fight them off a little bit. So I get it. But yeah, no, I mean, I was watching him slice these people and they're like, keep farting. <They're> like, no, I'm out. Like, no, yeah. I need to take a timeout. I don't know, dude. So X-Men, of all these on this list, we'll wrap it up. Of all these on this list, X-Men's kind of like one you're really excited about.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one, especially because they'll have different powers and abilities. And I think that's what's exciting to me, maybe even more than Wolverine, because Wolverine has one set of abilities. But here, we'll be able to have, like, I don't know, telekinesis here and morphing, or just like Iceman and Cyclops and Gambit and Rogue, like all of these things that you can kind of put together to like attack an enemy. And maybe, you know, I'm guess this Wolverine video game is going to help lead into the X-Men video game.
I mean, eventually, I mean, we're talking Marvel X-Men 2 in 2033, but right above that they say the new IP in 2031 and a new IP sequel in 2035, possible Avengers game. You know what I mean?
I wonder if that's like a new
or like a totally original new IP.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. Has nothing to do with Marvel. It's something that they're creating. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's a wild time for Marvel video games, because we have obviously the Spider-Man games, and then we talked about Wolverine, X-Men, but then just recently announced was Blade, and then there's going to be the Black Panther video game, and I feel like I'm missing something else, but there's just like all of these Marvel games kind of coming up. Almost like the Marvel video game renaissance currently that we're about to hit.
I'm here for it. You know what I mean? That that Avengers game that came out a couple of years ago, people didn't really love that one.
Yeah.
And maybe we just need some different Marvel content. So let's get it.
Let's get it. I was telling you I was playing the old Arkham games.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about that in a while.
Just want to talk about it real quick. But yeah, I started playing that, and after playing Spider-Man 2 and then jumping into Arkham, it's like, whoa, can barely move around as much as I want to in that game.
Yeah.
It took me a little bit. I remember I played it a long time ago and I really loved it. And then going back here, I feel so handicapped and so limited.
If you think about it, that first Arkham game came out in 2009, I want to say.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So it was a long time ago. Yeah.
It was a while back. I will say, if you keep playing even the very next game, they really free up some things. But the third, I've talked about this so many times, the third one is like the most polished of them all. So I would stick with it. You know what I mean? The first one's fun, but it goes places. So,
okay.
How far into the first game are you?
Oh, I'm not that far at all. I don't know where I'm at. I just took down Bane. You know?
I mean, that's like a pretty decent amount into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shorter game too. So,
yeah. Like out on the island now.
Yeah, I just took down Bane with my car, and now we're gonna do something.
Okay. No, the first one has really great like ambiance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That like dun 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 dun. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever the music. And then like the joke, it's kind of like a Joker theme that plays throughout because he's like taking over Arkham. Yeah, that's a super fun game. And that was also like the first time you were playing Batman where you could like glide. It was like an open world game, but it was contained, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, you're gliding, you're grappling, you're using the tools. And that was just like the proof of concept. You know what I mean? Like, look at what this Batman can do. And Arkham City, I've said this a million times. So Arkham Asylum is a proof of concept. Arkham City is the story. All right. Like that is the one that is like the Dark Knight of the trilogy. But unlike the Dark Knight Rises, Arkham Knight is actually phenomenal. Just absolute solid gameplay. And there will be some complaints when you get there, especially if you read, you know, people's thoughts on it. There's complaints that have been out for a while, but worth it all the way through. Okay. Play all three games.
Tune in when I talk more about Arkham in this podcast. It'll be a while, but we will get through it. Listen, we're gonna jump. It's the holidays. It's Christmas. We're gonna talk about Christmas movies, and you know, we were discussing on what to talk about this week, and Miguel, you jumped in hot, saying you had a list ready to go about Christmas movies.
I did. I had a list just off the top of my head, and then as I started typing them, I was like, "Oh man, there's just like." It just came out of me.
They keep pouring out. They just don't stop. Do. Like, oh, and this one, this one. Yeah.
I think I have something about like, I like to rewatch movies that I like. I don't necessarily want to like go through the effort of doing all these new movies all year long. So something about the holidays, like kind of just brings out this like, oh yeah, I just want to like sit down and watch this or that or this again. You know what I mean? Even though I've seen it a million times, it's like watching it for the first time all over again. Yeah. So I have several movies here. This is not like a ranking. We'll just kind of like vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Some of these movies I've seen a million times. Some of them I've only seen once. And feel free to jump in and share just anything you want, baby. Okay.
I love it. Okay. You take the pack, lead us, my captain.
Okay. So let's like the conversation is this like Christmas movies that you watch. You know what I mean? Like, and I want you guys to let us know. I sent out a list. Should I do it now? Maybe I'll hold off for a little bit. I'll come back to it in a second. But I sent out a question on Instagram today about what's your favorite Christmas movies. So I'm going to go ahead and shout out some of those people here in just a little bit. Okay.
Do we get a lot of engagement on that?
We got enough for me to start that conversation.
No, it only took 87 episodes to get to this point where we can include a little bit.
Maybe. So listen, I'm going to start out with a strong one. Okay. This is the one that we watch. My wife and I watch every year. And I'm not going to lie. It started out as, my wife wants to watch this one.
Right.
But no, baby, like I do too. Like we have a great time watching this every year. And in fact, this year we watched it twice already.
Oh, wow. This is big.
Come on. You know what I'm saying? So I'm talking about, of course, The Holiday. Okay. That is in our house.
I thought you were going to say The Holiday like favorite. Boom, boom. But no, you just said The Holiday. Okay.
The Holiday. Okay.
The Holiday. This is the holiday movie.
Okay. You know what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
No, wow. I'm talking Kate Winslet, Jack Black, Jude Law. And Cameron Diaz. Okay. Yes. This is like the something you're going to hear this kind of as a general theme of our house Christmas movies is we like the rom-com aspect of Christmas.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It adds to it. It's a little bit of flavor. I can't tell you how many times I've seen The Holiday. It's such a strong showing. It's one of those movies that's a little bit dated. And if you watched it today, and I have another movie on my list that's a little more so this. If you watched it today, you might go, that's a little problematic, or I don't quite like this. Uh-huh. But the performances sell this movie. Oh, and that's another thing I'm going to say. There's quite a few movies that I'm going to talk about where Christmas movies might not be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes you're really like, really shoving in the Christmas angle. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? But sometimes these performances are just so good that you have to like look past like any generic issues that you might have. Okay.
Totally. Yes.
I love The Holiday. I think it's really good. I was kind of joking around with Ed a couple weeks ago where his biggest gripe has always been, I'm putting words in his mouth, that Jack Black and Kate Winslet end up together in this movie. And I've always felt like he was just jealous that Jack Black, of man of Jack Black's caliber, could get Kate Winslet and not Ed. he did make a good point. The real stinker in this movie and in most movies is Cameron Diaz. So my wife and I were cracking up. We just watched it earlier this week for the second time. Okay. And Cameron Diaz, have you seen this movie in a long time?
Dude, I've probably seen this maybe one time a long time ago. And okay. I just forget that it's a, I know it's just a Holiday in the movie title.
It's literally
that,
there.
When I look at the poster, it's all everybody like smiling, like in four quadrants.
I feel you. It gives like a summer vibe. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
early
it does.
Fall vibe. I feel
right.
you on
so
the poster.
I haven't watched it a lot, so I'm really leaning on you for the Holiday expertise.
Listen, ask Sarah, okay? Ask her if she wants to sit down and watch it, and then just like give it a go. You know what I mean? Okay. Like you don't have to love it. You know,
to give it a go. You know,
I think it's worth it. Okay, I think it's right. a lot of fun. But there's a scene where Cameron Diaz is first off, we're not going to talk about this too much. The quick premise is Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet are like kind of alone for the holidays, and they're sad about their prospective like boyfriends breaking up with them or whatever. Uh-huh. And they're on like this pre Airbnb type site where they can like exchange houses.
Right.
And so they message each other, and then the very next day they're on planes. Kate Winslet flying to LA and Cameron Diaz flying to the UK. And Cameron Diaz, when she gets to Kate Winslet's little like cottage, her tiny yeah. little cabin, she does elbow acting. Okay. And if you watch this movie, you'll see what I'm talking about. She does this whole scene where she's like moving her elbows like this. You know what I mean? And her elbows
she's
are really
keeping them
doing.
Close to her body instead
and,
of kind
and
of letting
up
them.
In the whole frame is elbows. Okay. Okay. It's some of the silliest acting I've ever seen. And I have to feel like they yelled cut and she was like, I fucking nailed that. Okay.
Was that like a Clueless thing? Like people in Clueless kind of moved like that too, didn't they? Where they had their.
Oh, like, maybe it was like a rich white girl thing. Maybe she's like making a statement. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It was just the time. That's what you do.
Absolutely. She was a product of a generation for sure. But no, this is a super solid movie. There's a whole Hollywood angle, Luis. Kate Winslet goes to LA and her whole thing is like her and Jack Black end up being a couple, but it's not about the relationship. Kate Winslet's story is really the best part of the movie. Uh-huh. She meets this like old Hollywood screenwriter. He's literally like elderly and he gets lost in the neighborhood because he can't find his home. And she kind of like takes a shining to him.
Yeah.
And it then becomes this like old, like kind of romanticizes this old Hollywood aspect, like in the Christmas time. Man, dude, it's a solid.
It's coming back to me. The more you say it, like the memories start resurging again.
Dude, it's a solid vibe. Okay. Like I can't recommend
it's
it
like
enough.
Bing Bong coming back to life. You know what I mean?
Dude, absolutely. Take her to the moon for me.
Yeah.
Dude, so I'm over here talking the Holiday, and we got a list of movies that we can talk about here in just a second. But like, what is your go-to like Christmas movie?
Yeah, listen, like you said, we always go back to our favorite okay. ones. Growing up as kids, and then you're like, am I just a child for all of my life? And why do I keep going to this one movie? But the first Michael Caine movie I've ever saw, Muppet Christmas Carol, and
yes, dude.
That is just an iconic Christmas movie for me. It's obviously a famous Christmas story done with these hilarious Muppets. And going back and rewatching it, I'm like, wow, the direction is so good. Michael Caine's performance is so grounded. You know, the timing was great. The music is great. Like, it just hits so well on all of these things. And it just does a really good job of executing that Christmas spirit. It's really silly. And obviously, I'm silly and I like that. So, and I think everybody kind of pulls a really great performance. And as far as like the Muppet movies go, it's one of the top ones
the best.
For me. Yeah.
I know I said I was going to kind of hold off on some of this, but I might as well bring it up now because Muppet Christmas Carol came up a lot in our poll today. Let me see if I can pull it up. I'm going to give some shout outs here. So obviously Steven Escobar, our fourth nerd, he was the first person to respond. He responded almost immediately with Muppets Christmas Carol.
He has our notification on right away. So when we post
something, he does,
it
baby.
Dings.
Shout out. Yeah. Shout out, dude. Obviously, Luis, you responded, said Muppet Christmas Carol. Ed's sister, Georgie, she said Muppet Christmas Carol.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'll say it as well. Muppet Christmas Carol. Okay. Like what
did Steven
a solid
say? Wait,
movie.
Did Steven say it too?
Yeah. He was the first one. That was
he was
Muppets
the first to say Muppet
Carol.
Christmas Carol. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So very popular movie. That's the one that came up the most. That seems to be
a
big crowd favorite.
It has a lot of range. You know, there's like, spooky to funny to happy to scary when the future ghost comes in and you're a little kid You see that future ghost, yeah. Like, oh my God, I feel like my soul is leaving my body. You know, it looks like a Dementor, and it's just really scary. And as a kid, I was always afraid watching that scene, but I knew it was coming up, and it was hopeful. You know, the music, it's just, God damn, they did a really good job. They left no crumbs. You know what I mean?
Oh, they ate. You know what I'm saying?
They ate.
Dude,
Major W here. Okay,
bro, come on, man. We're kind of introducing my son. He's going to be 5 in the new year, and we're kind of trying to introduce some kind of bigger kid movies to him. Like we did, we started watching Harry Potter with him, the very first this year. We tried last year; it was a little too soon. But this is The Muppets Christmas Carol is definitely one that I'm down to kind of give a go. He likes the Muppets. Like he watched Muppets. They did like a Muppet Babies like CGI cartoon show. He loved that.
Okay, good.
Listen, I'm not trying to rub whatever. Yeah. So every now and then we try to put on like a Muppet, like a live action Muppet thing.
Yeah.
And he gets a little like, it's whatever. So I think he likes the cartoon, but
with this one, it starts off with a banger. Do you know what I mean? Okay. It starts off with music, and it gets you going, and it's just kind of like all the blocking and the way that the animals pop up. It is kind of mesmerizing as you watch it. And that song is so catchy at the top. You're like, I'm here for it. Whatever ride I just got on, I'm ready to stay out all the way. I would say that would be one of them. A one that my family used to watch all the time. I don't know why it became like our family tradition was Christmas Vacation.
Mm. That's a classic answer. I actually don't have that on my list. We didn't do that too much in my house, but that is clearly like a favorite. Like the vacation movies are top tier comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Can you kind of recap that story for me? I don't remember it too much.
Yeah, it's, you know, those dudes, I forget what they're called, the Oswalds. That's not their name, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's just kind of their family vacation. Their family comes over, hijinks ensues. He's waiting to get this big bonus so that he can build a pool, and he's kind of imagining it. He doesn't get the bonus, and then, you know, his brother comes in, or his cousin comes in and like wreaks havoc. It's just like, it's just a hijinks movie. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what could go wrong?
Movie.
This dad is trying to be the best version of a family dad, and everything just goes
Griswold
wrong. Yeah, the Griswolds.
Is that it?
What did I just say?
Yeah,
I said something.
You said Oswald, but I told you,
Oswald Cobblepot.
Like,
no, I think it's the penguin.
It's coming back.
I knew it had a Wald in there. Okay.
Yeah. No, I fucked up too. That's okay.
The audience would have been like, "You fucking idiot!" Oh yeah, Griswolds. Yeah,
we pulled it back. No, dude, that's
really
a solid
wacky
one.
Hijinks. Yeah, it's like I don't know. Oh, and
there's something about watching a movie with your family. I'm gonna pause just for a quick second. Oh, yeah. Here we go. We're coming back.
We're good.
I'm gonna catch my breath. Okay, there's something about like watching a movie that you watched with your family. You know what I mean? But that you still continue watching like as an adult on your own.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I feel like, you know, that nostalgia. One for me that is kind of like that is Tim Allen's The Santa Claus. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. That's also a classic. Yeah, that's a good one too.
I don't care how problematic Tim Allen is. I will watch the original Santa Claus movie every single Christmas. No problem. Okay.
Yeah, dude. I love Santa Claus. I love the bits. You know, I was talking about Christmas Vacation because it's just full of bits. And I think Santa Claus also has some really fun bits, and I remember being just kind of moved when that kid had that analogy about Santa Claus. It was like, well, have you ever seen $1 million? Well, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that exists, and I was like, oh my God, my mind just
That's
blew.
A smart ass kid.
Yeah, smart.
Bro, we started watching Christmas movies on Thanksgiving. Okay, so we've been kind of doing Christmas movies for the season, and we've seen the Santa Claus a million times. But something about this year, Charlie, the boy in that movie, is just a little bit older than my son is right now.
Whoa.
Tim Allen's character is only like,
you could be Santa Claus,
dude. He's only a handful of years older than me, his character in that movie. And I was just watching it and I was like, oh my God, like that is my son right there. Like, so, just just emotionally available, you know what I mean, yeah. to the world around him, and like saying shit like that. And I was just looking at that, my son going like, oh my God, that could be you in a year. You know what I mean? Being like, well, I haven't seen
playing in his bedroom, acting like he's going to the North Pole again, you know, when he's like building like things in his room.
Dude, when you have a kid, that'll be the same thing. Like kids right at this age right now, it's all about imaginary play like that shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I was watching this movie with a different view this year. And I've watched it since I was a kid. It was one that my mom and I watched a lot growing up, and I'm carrying the tradition on. So that's kind of the same
solid,
thing.
It's family. One of those movies with Muppet Christmas Carol. I remember the VHS. Like I remember holding it in my hand. I remember mm-hmm. like opening it. I remember the perimeter of the poster saying the actual Santa Claus of it all.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't catch the cleverness of the title.
No.
Santa Claus. Cause
with that E. Yeah.
With the E. Yeah. Which is a nice little touch. How deep did you go into the Santa Claus trilogy now TV series? Okay.
So first off, no, I'm not watching the Disney Plus TV series.
No.
Why is Tim Allen like doing the superhero pose on the poster? You
know what I mean? I don't know. That was the craziest thing I've seen.
No. That franchise, and I understand why. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the first movie, he's Santa Claus. Like, where else do you go from there but the fantastical? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think my mom and I went and saw Santa Claus 2 in theaters when it came out, yeah. just because like, she was like, well, we've seen the movie a million times. Let's go right. see it. But we didn't see Santa Claus 3. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. That was like a TBS viewing. Like it just happened to show up. Yeah.
Just not necessary. And, I get why Tim Allen is holding on to that franchise. You know what I mean? Like when you have a, you know, it makes money, like go after it. I'm not mad about that. But no, the one that we're showing is the OG. Okay.
Crazy elf design too, you know, like especially those like CIA type of elves that come in.
They had jetpacks and shit.
Jetpacks, come on, that's cool.
No, and I sent a link a while back, but like apparently there's several shots in the movie where elves are just walking in the background, like because they're like keeping track of Santa throughout the year.
Oh yes, so, like, that was crazy.
In the background, you'll see like kids with pointy ears.
Yeah.
Nostalgia. Nostalgia is not the only theme for Christmas movies. There's also some hilarious Christmas movies, okay?
All right.
And I want to talk about some movies that I find absolutely hilarious. Like, I crack up every year when I'm watching them, okay?
Okay.
This one was a sleeper hit for me. I was not prepared to laugh as much as I did. I think I only watched it for the first time in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, and we've then done it every year. Four Christmases.
Yes, I saw this in theaters.
Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah,
bro, dude, did you walk away immediately knowing it was a hit? Or did
I was
you
like,
to kind of
I liked
it.
No, I did have a good time. I was like, oh, that was very enjoyable. You know what I mean,
dude? It's so fun. I think it's one of those.
It's
that,
a good.
Like, it kinda,
it's a good bit where they're going to each little family and grouping.
Yes,
the pacing
is so tight. Like they move to family to family to family. They know what the premise of the movie is. They don't need to take a million years building up to it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of that era of comedy where it's like it is just straightforward. You know what I mean? And the bits reign supreme, and the bits are so good. You've probably seen it on Instagram and TikTok this last season, but like the scene where they go to his mother's house and she's married the younger, like his friend from high school, she's married his friend.
Oh yeah.
And they do like it's not charades, but whatever that game is where they're guessing. I'm blanking on the name, but it's his brother John Favreau and the wife. Where she goes, yes. Oh my God, dude. That scene is hilarious.
Is she the same woman in Eastbound and Down?
Absolutely. April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. April. No, absolutely. Fuck yeah. No, she's hilarious. And she's in a lot of Danny McBride stuff. She's also in Righteous Gemstones. I want to say she was in Vice Principals as well. That's a tangent. Four Christmases, absolutely hilarious. It was one that I saw the trailer and I saw the poster for so many years. Yeah. It sat on Netflix for a really long time, and I was just like, I don't need it. Because he had also done Fred Claus, you know what I mean? Like, Vince Vaughn has a couple of Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's just another throwaway Christmas. I don't have to
watch it. No, it's a great cast, too. A lot of funny people at that time.
Perfect.
I mean, we only list a few, but every time you go into a new family, it's always a great, great cast.
Absolutely. And that's such a good point. Like, these movies live or die on performances. You know what I mean? So you need to have these like stellar actors coming in, even if they're just for bit parts. And I'm going to talk about some more of those here in just a minute. Do you have I guess you talked about the Christmas Vacation, but is there another like comedy, Christmas comedy that you're kind of super into?
Let's see, Christmas comedy. I actually wrote Four Christmases here, but you know what? Something sort of similar, but not similar. I want to talk about The Family Stone.
You want to talk about it?
So The Family Stone is actually, we saw that movie a couple years ago, and I think I saw it a long time ago by myself or with my family. Yeah. We saw it recently, and after that, a couple days later, so The Family Stone, the movie's about like them trying to get the mother's stone so that he can use it for, you know, for future engagement. After that movie, a couple days later, my now mother-in-law approached me. And baby. Was like, listen, I have this ring from Sarah's grandmother, and I don't know if you'd want to use it as a, you know, to propose to her. But I was just like, wow, this movie is now has a whole nother like kind of meaning in my life just because after we watched it, I also inherited the Family Stone to give to Sarah. So it was kind of like, you know, a moment a because of deal. That more than anything. Yeah.
Do you remember when I texted you and I said I have thoughts? Okay.
Yeah.
It was solely about the Family Stone. I could spend the next 30 minutes talking about this movie. So like this, I'm glad you brought it up organically. I'm ready to talk about it. Okay. First off, I just want to say, I didn't realize you were going to tag it with such a, like a personal, like kind of heartwarming story attached to it. I'm super happy for you and Sarah. I love you both.
So also, anything that I say movie fucking
sucks. So anything I say about this movie, like, please know, like, I didn't realize you were going to bring it up like that.
Of course, yeah.
But we also, I kind of a similar situation. I want to say I maybe saw it a long time ago, but it wasn't until like maybe a year ago that I saw it kind of and really took it in.
Yeah.
And then I forgot about it completely. And then we watched it again just a couple weeks ago. Ooh, sorry, I've had too many beers. And I was kind of blown away by this movie. When I talked about earlier about how performances kind of make a Christmas movie, even if the movie itself isn't perfect, I was 100% talking about The Family Stone. Okay. There are a lot of like structural elements that kind of lose their footing for me.
There's so many family members that you kind of like. You get some blind spots a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but it's not like an ensemble piece isn't a bad thing. It's just that it kind of juts and shoots into different directions kind of abruptly that you're like, oh, this is the movie. And then they switch again and you go, no, wait, this is the movie. Yeah. So there's like kind of a lot of shifts that are happening. But it is grounded by absolutely stellar performances. I mean, every single person shows up. And earns that
I'm gonna list the cast real quick that we have. Please. That okay, so if you don't know, The Family Stone has Rachel McAdams, Luke Wilson, Sarah Jessica Parker, Diane Keaton, Dermot Mulroney, Claire Danes. I mean, it is a stacked cast here, full of people, and they all bounce off each. Oh, Craig T. Nelson is also in this. He plays like the dad. Great dad presence by that guy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, see, that's and even just mentioning the cast that kind of spawns just like what I'm talking about as far as like the different directions they go. Like, first off, let's talk about the title, Family Stone. Okay.
Yeah.
The premise is the ring. They're giving away the ring. But who is the Family Stone? The mother. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the two big elements tied into the title. Okay. Oh. But then you get the dad mom aspect because the mom is sick, right? And then there's like a mother father, we've raised the children, how are we going to survive the family dynamic? Then it's all of the siblings, but then it's Dermot Mulroney and Luke Wilson and how they kind of have like a little bit of a rivalry. And then it's Rachel McAdams and the new girlfriend, how they kind of have a rivalry. There's a whole third sister who's pregnant, which is basically like shoved to the side. The girl from Haunting of Hill House. Okay. She's kind of like shoved to the side.
Yeah. She like shows up late or something, right? Like, I think she's the one.
No, baby. She's in the whole movie that they just barely ever talk to her. And okay, they they resolve her storyline like that. They were just like, oh, and it's done. And every time they shift to one of those characters, it just kind of like, it feels not connected. You know what I mean? And it feels like when they filmed these scenes, they understood what they were doing. Kind of like a play. You know what I mean? Like they were doing those scenes and the scenes are perfect. But like the overall like conjoined thing is just a little disjointed for me.
I think 20 more minutes. This movie's an hour and 43 minutes long. I think, you know, give it 20 more minutes and we'd get a nice little full story here.
Performances. I'm just going to get them out of the way real quick. Sarah Jessica Parker absolutely rules in this movie. Okay. Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker, obviously she's in Sex and the City. That's like her big thing. And that's like, if you're thinking Sarah Jessica Parker, that's probably what you're thinking about. What I loved in this movie is she's that kind of like uptight New York, like fashion, but also super business savvy broad. And she just doesn't fit into this family because this family is so kind of like warm and open to people's faults and they don't like hold things against people. And she's so uptight. I can't believe I'm saying this, but you know how, like, you watched, you know how you watched like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight and you were like, I don't even see Heath Ledger. Oh,
okay. Okay. Yeah.
I was watching this movie and I was like, I'm kind of like blown away that Sarah Jessica Parker can act this good. Okay. Like that's okay, how okay, I,
yeah. You were really taking,
that's I how mean, I
she's
felt.
Not, she's not hiding behind makeup or anything. It is like clearly her.
No, it is her, but
her mannerisms,
about,
her physicality. It's like, whoa, who
I
is this
never
person?
Would right. have. Yeah. Oh, but like, hey, real quick, while we're talking about Sarah Jessica Parker, there is a part of the story that really comes out of left field. Two kind of parts that come out of left field, but one specifically is when they're sitting down at the Christmas dinner and she starts, because one of the siblings is gay and he and his partner, they're a part of the family. They come every Christmas. There is no drama about that whatsoever. And then Sarah Jessica Parker comes in and it's kind of like early 2000s. So they're like, we need a dramatic angle for this movie.
Yes.
And she has this whole scene where she's like, the mom says like, oh, I prayed for all my kids to be gay. Kind of just showing that like the mom was so just warm and open and just wanted to love all of her kids no matter what. Yeah. And Sarah Jessica Parker takes this a really hard stance where she's like, I mean, I don't think anyone wants their kids to be gay.
Right.
And it's like, okay, like that is
you
some
feel uncomfortable
early 2000s.
Watching it and you're not even in the room with them, you know?
No.
The air got thick when she drops that. And it's a conversation that would happen sometimes in families. So it is like reminiscent of that kind of like conversation. Yeah.
But it comes up out of nowhere. And that's how I feel about some of the drama in this movie. Now, obviously the kind of through line for the mom character, Diane Keaton, is that she's sick and they do. Kristen had to really spell this out for me. I'm not gonna lie. When we were watching it, she was like, Miguel, they've been dropping hints that she's like, there's a problem. And I just was so distracted by all of the other elements that I wasn't really picking up on this. But they're dropping that Diane Keaton is like sick throughout the movie. But then they have this one moment where Craig T. Nelson, he goes to Sarah Jessica Parker and tries to apologize to her, but she's not there or whatever. And then he comes home and he gets into bed with Diane Keaton and they kind of have this like intimate sexual moment. Where she, but then it's meant to be kind of like the reveal, literal reveal, where she like takes off her shirt and they've taken her breast for the cancer. And it was just one of those things where I'm not opposed to them making this choice for this character, but it just kind of hits you. It just kind of comes out of nowhere.
You think this movie is going to be like a softball movie where it's just going to throw these like tropes and like soft themes and then it just keeps laying down these hard stuff like, whoa.
Heavy things. And if it didn't just feel so disjointed, I would really appreciate it. But I will say this, kind of like I talked about, and I know I got a lot of shit about Don't Worry, Darling. This was a movie that I kind of talked about for the next day or two. I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And even though I'd seen it before, this was the Christmas that really kind of solidified, like, I want to watch this movie every Christmas. We talked about comedies and nostalgia. This is the drama. This is your Christmas drama. Mm. You know what I mean? And just absolutely stellar performances. Rachel McAdams before she was really Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
I almost said Cate Blanchett. That's not right.
Claire Danes.
The sister in that movie, Claire Danes. She comes in, and that's a whole nother angle. It's like, oh, they fall in love, you know what I mean? After a couple of days of knowing each other, and oh, you were really the right sister for me all along. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm gonna ramble if I keep talking, but I just want to say, The Family Stone was absolutely a movie that I was unsure about a year or more ago, and now I'm like, nah. Even if I don't like a couple things, I'm gonna watch it every year. And now that I know that it has such a big deal for you and Sarah, I'm gonna watch it with even more fondness.
Absolutely. Now let's strap in for the Family Stone TV series coming to Disney Plus next year.
I'll do it. Absolutely. let's talk about a classic for a second. Do you watch a lot of classic Christmas movies? I'm talking about like before our time, okay? Like old movies.
I'm really trying to honestly think of them. I don't think I really did. I actually wanted to talk about this too, because I wanted to talk about, I know we're going to talk about old Christmas movies, but Christmas movies that we haven't seen, and a lot of them are older ones for me, and one of them that I still haven't seen to this day that always gets played every single year on repeat is A Christmas Story. I've never seen A Christmas Story.
Solid answer. I saw A Christmas Story one time. It was with Kristen. It was back when we were in the theater program at U of H. Okay, so this was a while back. Sarah was probably there too, because we were all in oh my god, I'm blanking on that Christmas play together. Anyway, the director, he played A Christmas Story because that was the vibe of the play we were doing. And so they put it on the projector on the wall, and we sat down and we watched it. And that was the first time I'd ever seen A Christmas Story. And I think I've really only ever seen it that one time. But it was memorable enough that we still quote it. There's a scene where his little brother is dressed in so many layers that he slips on the snow or gets pushed down, and he falls down. And the narration is, and he laid there like a slug. And I can't tell you how many times we have said that. But you're absolutely right. Like, that is like a classic Christmas story.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up It's a Wonderful Life. Have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I haven't seen that either, but I get the idea. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't know. He learns to love again, right?
I am not, and for a very long time, I feel like people thought, like, I am not like an old movie kind of watcher. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's like a certain decade I'll go back to, and then it's like, if it's beyond that, like, I'll just let the past die. You know what I mean?
Not a Hitchcock fan.
But. No, not that I'm not. It's just that I don't.
Just kidding.
You know what I
mean? Like that era. Yeah, specifically.
Yeah,
that era.
Yeah. But this was one of those movies where, I mean, I can remember like 8 or 9 or 10 years old, my mom put it on the TV one year, and we sat down and we watched it, and there was something about like the Christmas lights, the Christmas tree, the old movie, and it just kind of evoked this feeling that I don't do it every Christmas now, but there was a while where if it came on TV at Christmas, I was sitting down and I was watching it, because there's such a charm to that movie. Jimmy Stewart, you know, his whole thing is seeing his life as though he wasn't there, right? And trying to remember like the good things in life. It's definitely one that I want to go back to and watch. I have kind of fond childhood memories, but I do kind of want to pivot on that. I know I was about to start this old Christmas movie conversation, but I'm going to pivot real quick.
Pivot.
I have a list, so we can go all night. I'm going to try to keep it tight, okay? Have you ever seen the like modern day telling? This was from like, I want to say 2000, 2002, something like that, of It's a Wonderful Life with Nicolas Cage.
It's
called
Family Man?
The Family Man.
Yeah.
You ever seen this movie?
Yes, I've seen The Family Man. Yeah, he wakes up. Man. He makes a deal with Don Cheadle, right?
Don Cheadle's like the angel or whatever.
He's the angel, and he's like, you better act up. And he's like, no. He's like, okay. And then he turns into this, like, he gets together with her, his old fling or his old lover. And then he starts really.
From like college. You
know, yes.
Yeah, as though they start the movie off where like he's going to London for like a job, and this is the the story of if he hadn't taken that plane, if he had stayed
right
and got married to her and had the whole life. This is a movie that I watched several years ago. It's been a long time, but because I knew we were going to talk Christmas movies, it came across my feed a couple days ago. Uh-huh. And I was like, Kristen, we have to sit down and watch. I'm sorry. I keep doing the fucking,
you do it. The this things. Thing. Yeah.
I know. But we sat down and we started watching it, and man, it is a Nicolas Cage performance. Okay. I'm going to let this die out. There it is. Okay. It's a very Nicolas Cage performance. I think any actor really could have played this role. I don't think it has to be Nicolas Cage in this movie.
Yeah.
But it is such a solid Christmas flick, especially for like a reimagining of that story of It's a Wonderful Life. Again, really great performances. You know who's in this movie? Do you know who the wife is?
It's someone big, but I forget.
I'm going to tell you right now, baby. It's a Miguel favorite, okay? It's a Taya Leone. Sorry. No. Close, though. I see where you went with that. I see where I was going, right?
Like,
like in the ear, you hear it. You hear where you got mixed up on that.
Taya Leone, sure.
No, Taya Leone. I love Taya Leone. I feel like I've talked about her a couple different times this year. No, she is solid in this movie. Nicolas Cage is kind of like big in some moments, you know?
Yeah.
And Taya Leone really just kind of grounds the two of them. There's also this really sweet scene where their characters, they have two children, like a 3 or 4 year old little girl, and then like a baby boy. And the little girl, there's a haha comedy scene, right? Where Nicolas Cage has to like change the baby's diaper, and he's like, poop, gross.
Yeah.
But in the heart of that scene, the little girl is watching him do all this, and he turns around to her at one point and she asks him, "You're not really my dad, are you?" Mm. And I tell you, man, that took me out when I was watching it. And she kind of like gets in his face, and he's like, "No, I'm not your dad. Like, but you know, he'll be here soon. I'm sure he really loves you, you know, but I'm someone else entirely." And she starts to cry. And it's just such a heart-wrenching scene. But then they kind of find a bond together. It's like she calls him an alien. She's like, "Oh, you're an alien. The aliens made you my daddy," or whatever.
Right.
And so then in her brain, she starts to rationalize him. And so then she becomes like his kind of like confidant. And so she starts telling him, like, you need to change the baby. You need to take him to daycare. You need to drop me off at school. You need to go to work at this location. You're like, right. She kind of like helps him through the story. Just a solid film from start to finish. So can't recommend it enough. Like I said, I'm going to ramble all night long. I've got a list. We can wrap it up. I don't want to be here too long.
I'll some other ones. I know it's a big one, obviously, of our era, but whatever. Freaking Home Alone.
You guys.
I crack
one and
up
two
when I watch Home Alone 1 and 2. Both solid to me. What else do we have? The Grinch, Elf. Elf is also like a big one. I'm just kind of like scrolling.
Oh, Luis, I've got one for you. We got to talk about it real quick.
Huh.
And it fits with the nerd theme of our podcast. I'm talking about the 1992. Is that the movie?
92.
The 1992 hit, Tim Burton hit, Batman Returns.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Come on, man.
It is very Christmassy.
That is a Christmas movie, man.
Right.
You cannot deny it. Okay. Such a solid, you know, and it's a superhero flick. Come on. You don't get a lot of those. Iron Man 3, you know what I mean?
Iron Man 3, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special was a fun one.
The Holiday Special, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I thought I'd throw that on the list just for you because I know you like it. I want to talk about a couple of Netflix and streaming. I'm going to talk streaming for a second, okay?
Okay.
Netflix came out a few years ago. Kristen, she really liked this one, and we sat down and we watched it. I keep doing it. She sat down. We watched it over Thanksgiving. Is A Very Murray Christmas, that Bill Murray Christmas special on Netflix.
Okay.
Have you ever seen this? It is. I'm going to be honest. It's one of those things where you have to kind of you have to buy into it kind of right away. Okay. It's like the whole premise is that Bill Murray is doing like a live Christmas special, but it's in the middle of this blizzard so that all the power gets cut, and it's basically everyone in the hotel is stuck in the hotel together. And okay. so instead of him doing this like live broadcast, all of the people, all of the characters that are stuck in the hotel with Bill Murray, the actor, not a character, they kind of like come together and have this like fever dream of a Christmas special. If you don't buy into it, it's like, this is terrible. I don't want to watch this. But yeah. if you kind of just kind of get into the spirit of it all, like Bill Murray sings a lot and you're like, Bill Murray's not a singer, but that's okay. You know, it's just, it's kind of a fun time. They sing Christmas hits, but they give it like a jazzy rendition. And it's a lot of fun. Have a glass of whiskey while you watch it.
And short too. It looks like it's under an hour.
Under an hour. Lots of cameos, lots of celebrity cameos. You know what I mean? And like I said, it is what it is. You'll either like it or you don't, but you just kind of buy into it. And it's a little bit of fun, especially over Thanksgiving. Like we did it kind of leading into the Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
Another streaming movie that I was surprised was actually pretty good because I put it on like a Hallmark channel level, like Lifetime okay. Christmas yeah, movie absolutely. Level that I was not ready to like it at all, was one of the very first Disney Plus original movies, was the Christmas movie Noel with Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader.
Bill okay? Hader, yeah. No, I haven't yeah. seen this.
You haven't right. seen it. I'm going to be honest. It looks like a streaming movie. It looks like a straight-to-DVD Hallmark-type vibe. But again, the performances really sell it. Anna Kendrick is really good in this movie. Okay. Her dad is – her and Bill Hader are siblings. Their dad is Santa Claus. The Santa Claus dies. And Bill Hader becomes Santa Claus because that's what the boys do in the family. They become Santa Claus. But really, he's
suited
not Santa.
To be.
He's not suited. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She and is, though.
And she is. And okay. you find out that she's really who should be Santa. Okay. And it's kind of this a wacky adventure where Bill Hader runs away from the responsibilities. And Anna Kendrick, she's so invested in the Christmas spirit, like it is her whole world, that she goes to bring him back because she doesn't believe she needs to be Santa. She's like, my brother is Santa, and right. I need to make sure he does his duty.
And that's what makes her Santa worthy.
Yes, you know, yes, yeah. baby. It's actually pretty good. I this is one is of there, those
is,
that
is there singing involved in this? Like, I feel
no,
like she's
no,
cast.
And whoa, no, there's no singing. She does a little bit of like musical stuff. But it's not like in your face and throughout the whole movie. It's kind of like played off like a joke. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm blanking on her name. Very famous older lady is like her assistant elf, and she's got like a lot of sass.
Shirley MacLaine? I mean?
Yes. And she goes on the adventure with her. And they do a really good job. You could tell like she was like, I'm not wearing these fucking ears this entire movie. So they like put her in a lot of hats and like scarves like around the ear, you know what I mean? And that's she funny. Like every now and then will show her ear, but then put it away real quick.
Yeah, it's like
that's it. No, it's one of those like kind of sleeper Christmas hits, man. Like I'm not telling you it's a perfect movie, but if you look at that movie on Disney Plus and you're like, I'm not fucking watching that one, give it a go. You know what I mean? You might be surprised.
In this vein, I have another one I'm gonna throw right at you.
Let's hear
okay.
it.
Okay, modern Christmas movie, streaming, and it's not like top tier, S tier type of Christmas movie, but okay. you know what? If you're into something to not really pay attention, but it's there. Spirited with Will Ferrell and what's it called? Why am I forgetting his name? Ryan Gosling.
I'm blanking on this movie.
You never heard of this movie, Spirited? It came out last year on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't watch Apple TV, so that makes
I know.
Sense.
So if you have it, it's a musical comedy, and basically the whole premise is that Will Ferrell runs this whole organization that tries to basically Christmas Carol people. So they'll like target bad people, and then they'll do the whole like Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future, and they create this whole kind of virtual reality like smoke show to kind of fool people into like becoming better people. And it's this whole operation where everybody, where he's
like a punk,
kind of
like a Christmas punk.
Yes. And, but they, he, and they only search out people who are on the edge of turning and
kind of like worthy of the journey.
Yeah. It's like, we're for sure going to hit 80% or 100% clearance because he doesn't pick challenging people like Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is a selfish, egotistical businessman who is, you know, who will never be good. And so that's where they kind of butt heads, where like, I think Will Ferrell's trying to retire and then he's challenged to like save this one soul, Ryan Reynolds' soul. And then, you know, comedy ensues. It's like, you know, it's not terrible, but it's a fun time.
No, see, that's the vibe though. Do you understand? Like sometimes it's just like, you just throw a Christmas movie on and like sometimes break away from your tradition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like watch the new one and you might be pleasantly surprised.
It's one where you're like putting up decorations or you're doing something else or you're kind of there and then you need to step away and do something and come back. Like it's just kind of like an anchor to an afternoon if you need to put something on, you know, that's not too serious.
No, I agree 100%. I can't believe this. I had a lot of movies here. There's really only two that I haven't talked about. So can I just spit them out real quick and then we can be done? We talked about it last week, The Holdovers. We didn't, you know, really get into it as much as I wanted to, but I liked this movie, man.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one. This is definitely one. Kristen hasn't watched it with me yet. So I'm going to make her sit down and watch it maybe over the break. Like when we get back, we're going back to see family in a couple days and I might ask either like my parents or her parents to sit down and watch with us because I feel like it's like a good family Christmas movie.
Like a grown-up Christmas movie
And listen, I started this list with The Holiday and I think it's only fair for me, for my personal list, to end it with this one. I want to talk about the absolute Christmas hit, The Last Holiday. Okay Have you ever seen this movie?
I don't know.
It's LL Cool J and Queen Latifah. I was blanking on her name for a second. She's like a department store employee who bumps her head right before Christmas and goes to the doctor, gets an MRI. They say, oh shit, you've got like brain cancer or whatever, and you're gonna die and like, you know, shortly into the new year. And so she takes all of the savings that she has. She's like not a wealthy individual. She takes all of her money. She takes out loans or whatever. And she gets on a plane to like some like very rich, fancy, like European town and has a last holiday because she's going to die. And then you find out that the test was misread and she's not actually dying. And, that's kind of the premise of the movie. Okay. Then what does she do when she finds out? Does she continue with this? It's like she was this like lowly retail employee, single woman. And is she going to just always be that? Or is this going to be the catalyst to her finding her true self? No, it's a solid movie. You've never seen this movie?
No, I haven't seen it. I Googled it and I'm seeing also our own Little Mermaid, Halle Bailey, was in this movie as well. This movie came out in 2006, so I can't even imagine.
No fucking way.
She must have been like a baby or something.
Wow. No, I didn't know that. I don't. There is a little boy in the movie, but I don't remember like a little girl that would have been around her age. But I'm sure she's there. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
This is absolutely one that we watch every year.
Wow.
It's a really great, just solid performance. It really nails that kind of like Christmas vibe because it's like they go to this like very picturesque, snowy Christmas village. But it's also this kind of sad movie where, you know, like she's looking at life and going, you know, I guess this is it. And that's what I love about a good Christmas movie is sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's nostalgic, sometimes it's dramatic. And if you get a good mix of all three, you're in for a good time. So I came in hot. I was ready to talk about Christmas movies. I appreciate you letting me ramble for a little bit. Dude, I couldn't believe how much this was going to come out of me.
I think I have two more things. I forgot actually what my second thing was. But the first thing is a wild card. This is the one we saw a couple years ago. This is a Christmas action movie.
Okay.
And also quite violent. And it makes sense because the movie is Violent Night with David Harbour. And he plays this disgruntled Santa Claus who's just trying to get through his like workload, but he's a drunk and he's just like trying to get through it all. And he gets stuck inside a house when a robbery happens, and he loses powers to his Santa powers, so he can't leave. And he has to John Wick all these bad guys and kill them.
Whoa!
Yeah. And he starts blowing up heads, stabbing people, breaking legs, breaking arms.
Okay.
Doing some business. You know, this guy who's like a Rick and Morty, like a little drunk, just kicking ass. And he finds some heart at the end. You know, maybe he finds the joy of being Santa Claus again. And the family comes together a little bit. So it's a violent action Christmas movie that still gives a good message.
Okay. You know? Yeah. I'm definitely going to make my wife watch this movie. That's good. Yeah, Thank you for that recommendation. Yeah.
In that same vein, I told you I was going to talk about some of these. I just want to mention Eric, our listener, Eric. He also mentioned The Holiday. I'd mentioned Ed's sister, Georgie. She talked about The White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life. But in the same vein of Violent Night, The Movie Gap, a podcast friend of ours. This is Chase Hodgson and Bryce Perkins. They talked about Krampus.
Oh, did you ever see that movie? It's the one with... fucking Arrested Development.
Adam Scott or
Adam Scott. Yeah.
I want to say Adam Scott's in that movie.
Yeah,
but
I think Adam Scott's in it. I remember seeing the trailer and I was like, ooh, I'm gonna see this. And then I never did see it.
No. Oh well, I tell you what, this is definitely Chase messaging us this. This is very up his alley for Krampus. This is his Christmas.
It's a horror
movie,
right?
Exactly. And he's a big horror movie guy. So this is a shout out
in this too. So yeah, no, this is a movie I'm interested in watching as well.
You guys go to our Instagram, leave a comment. This story is already expired by the time you listen to this message, but you know, feel free to message us anyway and be like, oh, this is my favorite Christmas movie. I mean, and shout out to Eric. He's a listener who constantly is messaging us the week after our episode airs.
Top engagement from Eric.
Yeah, man. So yeah. Shout out to him. No, he's always leaving some really good insight. Man, that's, unless you have anything else, that's our Christmas.
I think we did pretty good. The only, now that I'm thinking about it, one that I haven't seen in a while that I'm going to go back actually try to see this Christmas is the one. Wow, I'm just forgetting everything now.
Good.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas movie.
Mm. Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way.
Oh, you were the one that posted that the other day.
Posted that on our story. Yes.
That is... I haven't seen that movie too many times. Maybe you'll appreciate this. I had a year where a couple of years in a row where my dad, he's originally from Mexico, and we would go back and visit his side of the family for Christmas. Uh-huh. And one year, he did a really good job, surprisingly, my dad. Wow, I don't want to get emotional right now. Where he realized that I was like kind of like this fish out of water, and his whole side of the family is like speaking Spanish this entire time that I'm there. And so to kind of help me feel like a part of the family and like kind of connect everyone, we would go to like, it's not Blockbuster, but whatever like the video rental store was there. And he would rent a couple of movies and they would put them on. And it would be in English with Spanish subtitles. And that was the very first time I ever saw Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
And I have a very fond memory of that because I got to kind of enjoy my dad's side of the family, like all together.
Aw.
So I haven't seen it in a while. That's one
I haven't either, but I
would
go back
and
watch it.
It'd
be a good rewatch.
Yeah. And especially the boy, like he would, I think, get a kick out of that. You know what I mean?
I think that's when I realized Christmas, like Santa wasn't real when I watched that movie. I watched it and I'm like, oh yeah, Santa's not real. I was like, wait. What's happening here?
Okay, I gotta be a little careful. I gotta be careful. Yeah. Maybe I gotta wait a couple of years, but
once you watch it first, pre-watch it.
Yeah.
So I might that might be something I watch as well. But Christmas. What a cheery time.
Dude, this was fun. I'm sad Ed couldn't be here for this, but this,
I mean too. I feel like he had a chock full of things he wanted to say. And you know what? It's actually been difficult as of late to be watching a lot of Christmas movies because during this time is also when a lot of the Oscar movies are coming out.
Kind of makes sense that Miguel would have a good Christmas list. You know what I mean?
Yes. over here, me and Ed are just suffering trying to get through all these Academy movies. Not suffering. Of course, we enjoy it as well. But it's just it takes up so much time. And they all bottom load them at the very end of the year. They just all come out. And you're like, well, I need to watch this, but I also want to watch Christmas movies too. So it's been kind of like a little bit of a battle, especially with Ed around, because I feel like I have to kind of like match with him sometime.
Y'all keep up with each other. Yeah, I get it.
We do. We help challenge each other a bit, you know?
Not me. I'm holding back. I hate award season, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, I got the AMC list this year, so like now I can like watch all these movies. No, okay, like we're so busy right now, like I just don't have time to see any movies. But I think maybe while we're all in town together, we might try to sneak one.
We'll see some.
I mean, take it away. That's the Christmas movies. That's what I got for you.
Speaking about me having to watch all these Academy movies just in time for stuff, what we're into, I watched some movies that Ed probably hasn't seen yet, and I'm pretty sure he's really jealous about it, but I don't want to dive too deep into it. Okay. But I did get to watch Poor Things. Yorgos Lanthimos is his latest movie. If you've seen one of his movies like The Lobster, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, and The Favorite, those are some of his past movies. This is a new one with Emma Stone and Willem Dafoe. And I don't want to say too much, but I enjoyed it. How about that? Okay. I'll wait till Ed comes on board.
Okay.
So we can talk about it some more.
I tell you what, this is a movie that you guys have talked about a lot this season. It's not something that like really captures my attention.
Yeah.
But every now and then I'm like, okay, it does look like fun. It, you know what I mean?
It's definitely like, something where like
weird, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say a little bit about this. Uh-oh. It does feel like a kind of like a neo new wave of like a Tim Burton-esque like vision. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And then, but also I feel like it might do a little bit too much at times. I'm like, you don't have to do so much, my brother. Okay. Okay. But then also, you know, you watch the trailer. You're like, I understand where this is going. I get the idea, but the performances, they do such a good job. Obviously Emma Stone does a great job. And I think her performances gets better as the movie goes on, and and Mark Ruffalo is also a treat to see. I knew I said I wasn't going to say anything. Sorry, Ed, but I just said a lot, and we can talk about it more.
He's not listening. He'll skip that bit. You know what I mean?
Have you been watching? I have two more things. Well, actually, I've been watching three more things. I've been watching a lot, I guess.
I mean, Luis, just go ahead. Just go.
Okay. I also watched The Boy and the Heron. It's Studio Ghibli's movie here. Miyazaki's like, he's like an older guy. He made a lot of Studio Ghibli movies, and it's, you know, people are saying it might be one of his last because he's like in his 80s,
getting up there.
It's kind of even reminding me a little bit of Scorsese, you know, where he's getting up there, and he's released he released Killers of the Flower Moon. But I like Studio Ghibli. I haven't seen as many movies as I want to. I've seen Spirited Away, Castle in the Sky, Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo, and a little bit of Princess Monarchy. But this movie, it, like all of his movies, they hit you subconsciously into your gut. You're just the way he's able to pull emotions out of you just through visuals. I saw animations that I haven't seen in his past work, and from what I heard, he's usually a control freak and he likes to really have his hands on the vision, but here he was able to work with other artists, and I think that gives room for kind of these new images and new visionary. It is a bit of you better strap in when you watch it, because it isn't a straight A to B to C kind of story.
It's a little dense. Like you have to,
You have to stay on your toes a little bit, and the pacing moves fast. You kind of have to like move with the movie, and you sometimes don't have time to linger. You just kind of keep moving forward. I don't want to spoil too much, but it is. If you know about his fantastical side with his other movies, it does resonate the same way as well. Really great movie.
Listen, I haven't seen it, but classic Miguel, I want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
you mentioned some things. Studio Ghibli, that's something that I really want to watch. I know HBO has a lot of that content. You mentioned like Howl's Moving Castle,
Spirited Away.
Like I've definitely heard those a lot. I'm not a big anime guy. Like that is just not really my realm of entertainment. But these are movies, and especially because of The Boy and the Heron, like I've heard about this movie a lot this year. Like there's a lot of like Robert Pattinson. I might want to hear your thoughts on him in just a minute. But I'm kind of like, is this the, like, if I'm not super into anime, but like, do you think these are the ones I should watch?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like this may not be the one you want to dip your toe into right away, because it is I think everybody who loves Studio Ghibli movies are going to appreciate this a lot, because there's so much of the library you reference to, and there's just a relationship you have with this creator. And so people will respect and understand it and kind of want to relish in him kind of pushing the boundaries of what he's done in the past. I think his past work might be a, because I'm saying it can be, it pushes you and it affects you subconsciously. You're like, wait, what is happening? And you're, and it puts you in this new headspace. If you watch his past movies, like Spirit Away, or, you know, obviously you said Howl's Moving Castle, Castle in the Sky, those movies are really good to watch. But it's still, you could definitely see that he's speaking about, like, hey, I'm 80 and I'm hitting the end of my life, and what does it all mean?
And this is, and this is
thing.
That.
This is kind of like his swan song sort of thing. But yeah,
can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask about Robert Pattinson? You know what I mean? Like, the internet has really, I've seen that whole, you know, when the internet talks about how, like, Steve Buscemi was a firefighter in 9/11, I feel like that's how many times I've heard about Robert Pattinson showed up and he filmed this movie in 2 days.
You know what I mean? Because that he was so ready to go. He knew the assignment. He knew, like, right away. He got it.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot. Did you feel he was, tell me about that.
Okay. So I'll tell you my experience. My answer is I don't know, because I saw the subbed version, you know, in the sub, and Studio Ghibli, like, most of the time people are always saying don't watch the dub, the voice acting is never as good. There are obviously a few exceptions to that, you know.
I'm glad you said
Ghibli
that,
is one of them where they work really hard on finding really good performers and catch the essence of it. I didn't watch Robert Pattinson, I didn't hear his performance. I watched the subtitled version. And so I'm actually curious to rewatch it and to hear his interpretation of it, just to kind of get both sides of.
I'm kind of glad you said that, because I would have gone into this straight, like, Howl's Moving Castle. I want to say Christian Bale voices one of those, you know what I mean? Like, I would have gone into the American, like, the English version.
And they do a fantastic job of doing it. Like, if you dive into it, doing the American one, I think that's totally fine. Like, I think that's okay to do. I just wanted to be a little adventurous, you know. I'd be like, I'm gonna.
No, I get that. I get that. Yeah, you know, sorry. This is a kind of a side tangent. I've been telling you, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima on PlayStation. Yeah. Have you played the game? Yes or no?
No, I kind of want to, but you talk Fair about enough. It a lot. It makes me want to.
It's been a lot of fun, and they do a couple different versions of that story where you can play it just like as the English version, the regular Japanese version, and then like a Legends version or whatever. But there is a version where, like, it is solely Japanese voice actors with English subtitles. And when I New Game Plus'd it, I started it with that. But then I was like, then I was like, I don't quite remember too much of the story, so I kind of want to go back to English just so I can kind of, like, as I'm. But but maybe it would be kind of fun to dip into that world of, like, it doesn't have to be super English heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. I might give that a go, where I maybe watch these movies organically, like as is, and we'll see.
Yeah, totally.
See how they go.
And then I also watched The Zone of Interest. I know Ed really wanted to watch that one, and I feel like I kind of
remind
hear
me.
Him. Yeah.
Remind me what this is.
So this is set during World War II, where they have the concentration camps, and a German soldier and his family live in the compound, but they live pretty much like right in the middle of it, but they're walled off from everything. And inside, when you live there, it's all like happy family, gardening, kids running around. You know, you would never really suspect it. And then as the movie progresses, it begins to reveal, like, oh yeah, just outside the walls, like, you know, concentration camps are happening. Yeah. And so there is that juxtaposition, and it kind of plays out, and it really, I'm really curious to hear what Ed has to say about it once he sees it, because I know he's a history buff and he enjoys these kind of movies. Yeah. And I would love
you
to
You were rushing for my opinion.
Unless you're a World War II fanatic. It's definitely it feels like you're a fly on the wall for this type of movie. Do you know what I mean? It feels like an art movie in the sense where, like, you would put this into a museum, because this thing takes its time.
Okay.
And it's just like, wallpaper images and you're flying a wall and things play out very, I don't know. Some crazy shit happens, but it just happens kind of like in the foreground, and it's a different paced movie. It's slow.
Yeah.
But intentional.
Yeah. No. Did you ever feel like you would talk about like a heavy World War II, like Holocaust type movie with a Santa hat on?
No, never. No. I never thought I would ever do that. No. What a
world. Here we are though. Huh? The mixed content episode. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, I wasn't actually planning on watching this, but I've been cleaning my house. The holidays are coming up. We're about to leave, and I like to come home to a very clean house.
Smart.
One movie I put in the background, I didn't know what I was going to put on. And sometimes this is a big struggle. It's like,
okay,
it takes me 20 minutes to figure out what I'm going to watch in the background when I'm about to clean.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's a big decision. It's a big commitment. I don't know if I want to go there. So I started playing the Rocky movies.
And, okay, baby.
Rocky 1, Rocky 2. I just started Rocky 3 today.
That's
and,
good.
Man, this is a movie, and I want to talk about this later, but this is a movie I saw as a kid. And it just brought back, it's just a flood of memories. We're talking about Christmas nostalgia and things like that. As these scenes play, I'm just like, oh my God, that's right. You know, I forgot about this scene. The Rocky one is obviously really great. And then as the series progresses, it really transforms into something else, kind of like that franchise movie. But it really did. It was an Academy winner. And it, when you watch it, you're like, oh yeah, this is like a really good movie. Yeah.
I feel if I could talk about that again, like I said, I have to talk because I like to hear my voice. I have been doing that a lot at work. This has been a quiet couple of weeks at work. We're getting into Christmas season, so I've been having like movies on in the background, and I think that's a very like strong decision that you have to make when you're watching something in the background. It has to be something for me, like I don't want to watch something new.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, is it a movie I really want to watch? Then I don't want to do it in the background. You know what I mean? So those movies that are kind of like very familiar, you've seen a bunch, you can quote, you know what I mean? You have the headphones
in. I can see the
scene
in my head when I'm over here washing a dish.
You're like,
you know what I mean?
You're like mopping the floor or whatever. Yeah, dude. Like that's the movie you want to watch. Where every now and then you have to pause and look up.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's that moment, like, and you want to make sure you catch that.
No, dude, I just did that recently. This is a dumb comparison, but I just rewatched Behind Enemy Lines. You ever seen that movie?
Whoa, no, I've never seen that movie.
I almost texted you about this. Ed would give me shit about this, but you were telling me like you're not a big like war movie buff. This is like a war movie. I will say this, upon this most recent viewing, I did kind of like taste a lot of like the American like propaganda as I was watching it. But it does have a lot of really solid moments. But the big moment that I had to like stop what I was doing to watch is when the whole premise is he gets like shot down and then he is behind enemy lines and has to like, has to get back. Right. But the scene where his plane gets shot down is very like gripping, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And it is a little of the time or whatever, yada, yada, yada. But I just have to stand there and be like, hang on a second. What's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I, when I'm picking a movie for the background, there may be those couple of moments that I have to sit and watch, but it has to generally be, the bulk of it has to be something I can listen to and be like, yeah, this is a good movie while I'm doing something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some good classic movies. Another fun one that I remember I used to drive from Houston to Dallas a lot. And it would be a 4-hour drive to go back. Is there a stain on my freaking phone?
Focus.
Sorry.
Focus.
Thank you.
Focus.
so I would, it would be a 4-hour drive and I try to put a movie in the background and be movies that I've seen so many times that I could just like listen.
Yeah.
And kind of watch it. One of those big ones would be Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
Which, like, I just listen to it. I'm like, yep, I know exactly what's happening.
Yes, dude.
A cleaning movie as well.
No, that's good. We should table this. That's a really good discussion for maybe like January, February. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what are movies that you can have on in the background? I want to come back to this, okay?
I do too. I feel like this, because you guys, I feel, have been doing that a lot. And I've been picking up on that. But we'll talk about that soon in another episode. But Miguel, anything you want to talk about what you're into, or are
I'm sorry. Can I finish with one quick thing and then I'll be done.
Take it.
So we gave, I mentioned last week with Ed, you know, the Nintendo Switch has been a big topic of discussion. Okay. My son and I, last week we were playing Super Smash Bros. A lot together.
Yeah.
Love that game. All right. We're having a great time.
But we did give him a small little early Christmas. I know I'm gonna get a lot of shit about this, but we did give him like an early Christmas, because we're traveling a lot during the season. And one of the things that we bought him was a game that Kristen and I were playing, before he was even born, on the Nintendo Wii. They have it for the Nintendo Switch, is Super Mario 3D World. Okay, it's a kind of like a classic OG game.
They have that on the Switch?
Yeah, baby.
Dude, I love that game.
Okay. That was one of those games where, like, Kristen doesn't play a lot of video games with me. But when we had the Wii, during that era where we had the Wii, like, she loved that game.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it a lot this year. And we were like, okay. When we were buying Christmas gifts this last week, she was like, should we get him this game? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. It's either my cat or my son. Sorry. Someone is acting up.
Who's acting up over there? Super Mario 3D World is also the new Super Mario Wonder. That's like the new interpretation.
My dumbass cat. So no, we haven't played Wonder yet. Now that was the back and forth we had, is did we want to go old school or did we want to get this brand new game?
Right.
And I think birthday next Christmas, maybe
Wonder
is the way we're gonna go. But there was something about us getting the I don't know if you can hear that.
I hear some scruffles happening. My cat's scruffling in the background.
I'm sorry,
too.
No worries. Just mute it, okay? Wiz is, oh my fucking God. One sec.
Yeah. Super Mario 3D World is a big hit for me, too. They also coming out with Super Mario Wonder. It seems like a very similar game where you can have multiple people playing, up to four people. I believe playing the video game, it's a great game to have other people playing with you at the same time. People can be Mario, Luigi, Toadstool, those types
exactly.
of things.
Exactly. It's like when you played Super Mario on the Nintendo 64 for the first time. You know what I mean? Like where they went to the open world. I appreciate you carrying that for me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was ready.
No, the 3D World was such a fun game. And my boy played Mario Odyssey so much that I was worried that like kind of like a step back would be.
Whoa, he played Mario Odyssey?
Bro,
I've never played that game.
Really? Yo, you
oh wait, no,
about...
I have played Odyssey.
With the
I'm
hat,
sorry,
with the hat.
Yes, yes. I was thinking about the GameCube version for some reason. I don't know why. Sunshine.
Dude, oh, he's played that too because he was playing Mario Odyssey so much. I bought like they did like a triple pack where it was like the N64 Mario, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Damn. Oh, so many good ones.
There we are.
They kill it.
Anyway, I will say Mario is a ton of fun. The boy's been having a great time with it.
Yeah.
Just to recap. Okay. He played Mario Sunshine, Mario N64, Mario Galaxy. He's played Mario Odyssey. And so I was like, if we're going to go back and play a game that we all love, it's got to be 3D World. My wife and I, we bought a new set of controllers for the Switch too.
Nice.
So now all three of us can play at the same
that's
time.
Great. Yeah.
So the Switch, when I bought it, like I was telling Ed, the whole idea was that eventually my son will play it, and we're kind of like reaping those seeds now.
Yeah.
So you were telling us like, oh, the Nintendo Switch is going to have a sequel next year, like the number two. I don't know what that's going to look like. But for now, I'm totally okay with what we have. Yeah. So, no, we're having a good time. And yeah, sorry, don't mean to overtalk it. What an episode.
Good Luis. One.
Yeah. I know.
We don't need Ed. We can just do this, you and me.
No, fuck Ed. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Let's text Steven. Hey, what are you up to? You want to take this job?
No, that's how I felt. That's how I felt the week I was out. I was like, this motherfucker. No. No, I can't wait to see Napoleon too. I had a coworker. I don't know if I told you this. I had a coworker that was like, he had kind of tentatively made plans for me and another guy to go see Napoleon. Uh-huh. And he came to us last week and he was like, oh, you guys, I'm so sorry. I'm just not going to be able to make it this week. And me and the other guy were like, I totally forgot we were going to watch Napoleon with you. Like, so I'm behind on that. But when I actually get to see it, I'm going to go back and listen to that episode.
I mean,
and Steven
yeah,
should absolutely come back. So,
1,000%. Yeah, you know, no rush to seeing that movie. If you don't end up watching it, it's fine.
No, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
No, dude. Yo, guys, big news. We're getting together for the holiday season in the next week. Okay. And I don't want to overpromise things. This is like tentatively, we want to make this happen. But like maybe a live episode is going to happen, you know,
all of us together
is what I mean. Yeah. All together. So if we can make it happen, Luis, Ed, and me are going to be in the same room recording a podcast together.
The question is, what room are we going to be in? We have three locations. We have to discuss, I guess.
I'll tell you later where I think it's going to be, but we'll see. Okay.
We'll keep it light. I think we're going to. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I can't wait to be in the same room and just talk.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, next week, let's see, what's today? Is today the 19th? Jesus. Next week, I think we're going to do our top 10 of 2023.
Ooh. Thank God Ed has already compiled a list, that motherfucker.
Ed in our text chain was like, Miguel, are these all the movies you've seen? Like, keeping a record of everything that you've...
Thank God for Ed Ball, you know what I mean? He was like, keeping track of the movies I saw. And I'm going to be real, I've seen movies this year. And if it's a top 10... I've at least seen 10.
You've at least seen 10. Yeah, at least you've hit the minimum of 10. So we'll do a top 10, me, Ed, and Miguel. Yeah, tune in for that next week. And then obviously we hit 2024. We're going to hit our two-year anniversary soon. Crazy.
That's right. In March. Maybe by our two-year, we'll have our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't know what's going to come first. I'm not really good at math.
We have a big year coming up, okay?
Yeah. Maybe we'll do the punchies. Who knows? Big year, big things, or maybe it'll all be the same. Who knows? But anyway, tune in next week for a brand new episode of Punch Truck Nerd. But until then, it's been me, Luis Gonzalez, and with my best friend.
That's right. Miguel Sanchez.
And until next time, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you soon before the new year. Bye-bye.
Bye.